from the gospel. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Our good Lord is fishing for all of us at various times in our life and in various circumstances. He's seeking us. We rejoice today that Victoria is baptized, and as she begins her Christian life in the church and receives Holy Communion today, we pray God's great blessing on her. I couldn't help but notice at the end of the baptism service when we were up here reading the scriptures that we also had people making confession. And there's a great connection between those two. Baptism, the Lord cleanses us. Confession, the Lord re-cleanses us, renews us. Because as we walk our Christian walk, none of us do it perfectly. And we need that sacrament of confession. We need that daily repentance. And we need that walk with the Lord, reading the scriptures, paying attention to what He's saying to our heart, praying the Lord's Prayer daily, "Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil." And then we have the blessed promise that the Lord brings us into His fold to continue to love and to care for us and to nurture us. As that gospel read at baptism ends, "Lo, I'm with you always." Always. He wants that closeness with us. The words in the gospel, "Come, follow me." Jesus said that to Peter and Andrew, fishermen. They left their nets, they left their home, their father, their occupation, and began this journey following the Lord. St. Peter, as I read about his life from what spiritual writers tell us that knew him and that passed on the tradition about him, he was a righteous man when he was called. As righteous as you might say one can be in the Old Covenant. And that may puzzle you because you read other places in the gospel when Jesus called him. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." How can that go together? Knowing our sinfulness, even as we seek to be righteous and do what is right, that's called spiritual humility. And that keeps us then in that right place with God as He leads us on to the next step and the next step and the next step in our walk with Him. So it's not surprising that Peter, when he heard the Lord calling him, of course, he's been seeking the Lord even as the Lord is seeking him. He readily leaves his nets and he follows the Lord to be a disciple and later a holy apostle. In the epistle today, we hear about righteousness as it was defined in the Old Covenant. And righteousness was the law of God, and seeking to follow what God has revealed in the law of God. Jewish people, many of them sought to do that, and some of them did it very, very well. And that's why a lot of Old Testament saints are labeled the righteous. None of them did it perfectly, but exceedingly great, many. And they found life in them. And that's why Psalm 119 or Psalm 118 it's the longest chapter in the whole Bible, the longest psalm. And it's thanking God for the gift of His law. Because in the law, He shows us and He tells us What's the way that leads to life? What's the way that leads to real happiness? And what are the deceptions? And he guides us, as he has clearly indicated in the law that he's given. St. Paul in Romans, though, he says to people that are non-Jews, don't feel that God has not left you also a law, and he loves you just as he loves the Old Testament Jewish people. And so St. Paul in Romans also delineates what he calls, what you could call, the natural law. The law is you observe creation and you say, well, this beautiful creation didn't just happen. There had to be a creator. Some of the church fathers say if you go into a beautiful building, don't you just wonder, what was the architect who made this building? It didn't just happen. There was an architect behind it. And so it is with beautiful creation and beautiful people that we meet. Often when we get to know especially beautiful Christian people, we know it's Christ in them. It's Christ in them. So whatever beauty and wonder and glory we see in this world, it points to the Creator who made and who works within them. People without the Old Testament law, then, had that witness of what God had made. And some of them also sought the Lord as he was seeking them. And we can marvel at the goodness of the Lord. Also, you could call it conscience. That's the other thing that St. Paul mentions in the scripture in Romans, conscience. Conscience, even if you don't know the law, there's something inside you that tells you right from wrong. Maybe not in as much detail as the Old Testament law, but there's that inner witness of conscience. Wow. That's a gift that the Lord gives us. Even before we come to faith in Christ, as we prepare our hearts, do your best. And we should say to people and commend people that are doing their best to try to follow what God has revealed, either in scripture, law, or in natural revelation of his beauty, or in the conscience within as he speaks to hearts. St. Paul says, those who do that well, they will be rewarded. Those who don't, they will not be rewarded. In fact, they will suffer the natural consequences of that. This whole subject speaks to a mystery that we will be judged on the last day by our works. By our works. And I know at first that sounds contrary to the gospel, as people understand the gospel. But works and Jesus are not, and the grace he gives us are not to be separated, but they are to be brought together. It's the Lord working in us that helps us do the good works. And if we really have our real living faith in him, then we will want to please him. Then we will want to do those works that we know reveals that he's working in our hearts and in our lives. Judgment of works, in the book of Revelation, it says in chapter 20, death and Hades gave up the dead, and them all were judged by what they had done. In the gospel read at the funeral service in our church, John chapter 5, truly, truly, I say to you, he who is my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. That's the gift, by believing. He who does not comes into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And then it goes on, the same gospel. Those who have done good, all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done and those who have done evil, that's the opposite of the resurrection of life. Notice done good, done evil. So good works follow real faith. And when we also get to a point in our life where we realize trying to do it alone is not enough, that's what's setting the stage for us to meet the Savior and to invite Him into our life and heart, to become His disciple. And that's what Peter does. This good man, who now hears the call, "Lord, of course I will follow you. I need you. I cannot do anything without you." Well, that's the walk. Come, follow me. Peter had much to learn. I went to the Parish Life Conference this last week, and it was a real joy to be with Bishop Thomas. I've never served with him or been that close to him for days like we were able to be with him, and to receive his presence and receive his teaching. At times he spoke very plainly to us, and that's what a good father does at times, even at times if need be, to correct us and to guide us. But there are other times, even when we would maybe make some simple mistakes, like saying that when we name bishops, and Bishop Basil, and then we suddenly realize, oh no, it's Bishop Thomas here. He would just smile. That's graciousness. But I remember him talking about, one of the things he talked about is at times we need what he called an attitude adjustment. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all at times need an attitude adjustment. We get into a bad state, and maybe we feel like we're put there because of unfair circumstances. Maybe people that have wronged us, we think, and okay, we're hurt, it's hard, but what's the solution? Jesus is always the solution. I went to a workshop there, one of the best workshops I've heard, by Father Kalinick on the Psalms. Many of you have probably heard him teach on the Psalms. It reinforced what, in my own life, I've been trying to do the last several years, read the Psalms as part of my daily prayer discipline. Father Kalinick said, doing that is the best thing you can do to adjust your attitude. Because you may start out feeling depressed. You may feel like you've got enemies all around you. You may feel like, well, at times you also feel like it's really glorious. All of those human experiences, they're there in the Psalms. And when you really understand it properly, the Psalms also are about Christ. He is the man that's going through all of that. When we join ourselves to him, like Victoria did today, when we join ourselves to him, like we renew when we go to confession and when we humbly repent and we realize I can't do it alone successfully, even though I might achieve a high degree. When I know I need him, he's there. That's part of following the Lord. When the disciples were called to follow him, they didn't know then all they would face. The ups, the downs, the joys, the hurts, forgiveness, the cross, and the resurrection. It would all be there for them. That's following the Lord daily. We're invited to do that when we daily pray. And when we daily pray the Psalms, maybe read one, put a mark, next day continue, read another one. Read it slow enough so that you can really chew on it and let God speak to your heart, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. He will lift us all up, and he'll give us strength He'll give us ability to do things that we couldn't do in ourselves and to keep walking a path that may be a change for us. Think what it was for Peter. He left his nets, he left his household, his father. But what a glorious life Peter discovered following the Lord Jesus. When we follow someone in a territory that we haven't been, like you're visiting somewhere and you need a guide, how important it is to have that guide who knows the way. Jesus knows the way. He takes us by the hand and he leads us when we follow him and are joined to him. Without him, we stumble, we're lost. The Lord is a light to us. He's a light. And as we are close to him, we are enlightened. But I also remind you, in the ancient world, where they had oil lamps, you know what the oil lamps looked like? A tiny little lamp. It's not like a big mega flashlight where you see everything ahead of you and, oh, I know all this now, and you follow it to some distant destination. A little oil lamp, it's enough light to show you the next step, the next step, the next step. And that's what his word is, the law, conscience, speaking to us, prayer, as we turn to him. He gives us those next steps. And he assures us big picture, it's leading to a glorious destiny. That's what St. Peter discovered, and that's what all of us as in the Christian church, following our Lord, we discover as well in our life and heart. May the Lord continue to help us all, help us with the adjustments we need to make in our minds and hearts, the repentance and the offering of forgiveness to people, and keep growing and walking in the Lord. And we will discover, in so doing, others are attracted to us as well. And that's how we become the fishers of men. And we seek people because the Lord has sought us and we found him. We keep seeking more and more to bring into his holy church and rejoice with the Lord as they come. Follow me. Follow me. Become like me. Follow my path. I'm with you. I'll make you fishers of men, lights of the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.